Hare Krishna. Om Agyarati Rangasya Kyanana Salakaya Shakshur Vitamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhanam Tikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Nulai Samamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Nagratam Ditam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Sagadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Sarkam Ritamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopikanta Radhakanta Namastute Tattva Kanchan Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haritriye Vanchakalpa Dhruvyacha Kripa Sindhuye Vrcha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So this was the Mangala Charan, or an auspicious offering at the lotus feet, at the lotus feet of the Lord, at the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas. The purpose of such a Mangala Charan, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying, is first of all to offer obeisances. Obeisances to the Lord, obeisances to his devotees. Obeisances to the glorification of the Supreme Lord. Obeisances to the holy name of the Lord. Obeisances to Krishna Prasada. Obeisances to all transcendental sound vibration that somehow or other penetrates the three worlds. Obeisances. Then it is said that also the aim is to obtain blessings from the Lord, blessings from all the Vaishnavas. And thus, we begin with our Mangala Charan. And finally, the Mangala Charan's purpose is to establish the goal. The goal is to connect with Krishna through parampara, not just through speculation. Speculation is plentiful in the world. That is the culture of the age. Everyone has his own idea, his own philosophy, his own God, homemade. Homemade. But the truth is, I was reading the other day a description of the creation, and it was reminiscent of the biblical history, because it said, in the beginning, man made God. And then it continued like that in the whole Genesis style. And what shall we say? That was not a beginning. Or if it was a beginning, it's the beginning of the end. It's the beginning of the age of Kali. It is the beginning of the age of deterioration, where gradually brain substance takes the size of a pea, or even smaller. And as a result, the idea is that man felt a need to create a god. But it's interesting because generally speaking, when we have a need, there's an answer to it, you know. There was hunger, food. Thirst, drink. So every need that we have, there is an answer to. Need some fresh air, no problem, plenty of it, open the windows. But when it came to, then man apparently felt a need for a god because he had to create one. But that was something, that need, there was no answer to it. All the other needs, yes, but that one not. So we see that kind of crooked logic, pea-sized brain logic, what can be done. It's the age of Kali. Manda sumanda mateo manda bhagya yupadruta. Lazy-witted or less intelligent, just basically short-lived, no good qualities. But Kaliya does nidairaja astiyo kamahan guna. There is one good quality in this age of Kali, which is Kirtana eva what?
Krishna.
Louder. Everybody will know it.
Kirtana eva Krishna.
Only you know. Kirtana eva Krishna. It is Kirtan. So, Kirtan is a very potent and powerful means to uplift the consciousness, because in Kirtan one is nourished by the bhakti of everyone else. There's reciprocation, it's together. Sometimes we are saying that what is the difference between japa and kirtan? In one sense, no difference. The same name, the same Krishna. Because Abhinat from Namina, the name is not different from Krishna. So same name, same Krishna, but somehow or other kirtan is easier than japa. In kirtan, sometimes we are chanting and we feel that tears are coming to our eyes. And we think, am I approaching Baba? Then just chant japa. And in japa, you are exposed. In japa, you realize, I have no taste at all. In japa, you realize who you really are. And when you're crying in japa, then it's not out of ecstasy. Anyway, so you can see. Then we are alone, alone with Krishna, and we have to actually show Krishna who we really are. There we stand in front of Krishna for the one we are. And we realize one thing. We realize that we are falling short in love for Krishna. So whenever in our devotional service we encounter that barrier, the barrier where we are falling short in love for Krishna, sooner or later we'll reach that barrier. Because sometimes we feel so full of love. Vrindavan, Vrajabhumi, Govardhan Giriraj, Radhakun Shamakun Giri Govardhan. That's the dust, Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Krishna's pastimes. How sweet, how sweet, such interesting things. Yes, the gopis were saying to Krishna, they were saying, if you are really the Supreme Lord, then you have to prove it. Said Lord Ramachandra, he built a bridge, he had the monkeys build a bridge to Lanka. Now, that's something. So, you know, if you can do it, here is water, there was a lake. They said, there are monkeys and plenty of stones here. Now you prove. And then all the monkeys came down from the trees and they wrote Krishna on the stones. And then they threw the stones in the water and the stones were floating. And then a bridge was built and the gopis walked to the other side of the lake, very satisfied by all these arrangements. Vrindavan, oh yes, love for Krishna seems to come so easy, so natural. Everywhere Krishna, everything reminds of Krishna. Just like I joined in Vrindavan, definitely not in Amsterdam, she joined in Amsterdam. Yes, I joined in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, there everything is magic. Like just behind our temple, there was Raman Reti, the soft sand where Krishna and Balaram would rest the cows in the afternoon. And still these days, cows are there. There was the Krishna Balaram tree, and every evening one could see 40, 50 peacocks that were going into the trees. Now you don't see them anymore. Too many buildings. The trees have been cut down. The peacocks have moved further out, but they're still there. In the morning, in Vrindavan, we were not waking up from the sound of or some other annoying noise. In Vrindavan, we would wake up from the sound of so many peacocks all together, and it would go from one side of Vrindavan to another at around 3 o'clock time. Vrindavan's alarm clock. So in such a place, so natural to remember Krishna. In such a place, so easy to love Krishna. Oh yes, we feel so nice. But then, even there, we sometimes fall short. When it's too hot. When Dinabandhu takes you on an ecstatic parikrama, but the temple is closed, and you have to wait for 4 hours, and it's hot, and you just sit there, and there's nothing to eat. You're hungry as well, and thirsty, and you think, gosh, you know, I think we're going to have the darshan next time. Whereas he has this shakti that he can sit there for 4 hours and ecstatically wait. That takes many births. No ordinary person can. So sometimes we encounter the limits of our love. And what do we do when we encounter the limits of our love? Ah, here in Midrand, it's not any different. Devotional service, yes. This is the greatest blessing. It doesn't always feel like that. There are moments that we don't love devotional service. There are the moments when it's difficult, when it's a headache, and when we think, I wish I was somewhere else right now. And so on. There are many times when we encounter the limit of our love. So what do we do then when we are limited in our love for Krishna? That's when we turn to Lord Chaitanya. Right there and then, we turn to Lord Chaitanya for mercy immediately. And then we go to Gauranga. And yes, you go deep into the pastimes of Gauranga. You go deep into Kirtan, and then when you go deep in Kirtan, then after a while, you wind up in Vrindavan, because Lord Chaitanya himself, he is in Vrindavan. As he said, my mind is Vrindavan. He says, for most people, the mind and the heart are the same, but my mind is Vrindavan. And then speaking in the mood of Radharani to Krishna, and since you like Vrindavan, why don't you place your lotus feet there? In my mind. So by following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one will come to Vrindavan. And then we are there again, and we hear things, more things about Vrindavan, and we find out more about Vrindavan, and more about the intimate dealings that Krishna has with his devotees in various rasas. He is Akila Rasamrita Murti, the complete personification of all different mellows. Our Krishna, who enters into so many relations with the devotees, including Madhurya Ras, which is difficult to understand. Because the loving exchanges of Krishna and the gopis are resembling the loving exchanges of ordinary boys and girls. In the Nectar of Devotion, it is said that the gopis, they were dissatisfied with Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma had created the eyelids in such a way that they always have to blink. And that this blinking is such a disturbance, because during the blinking, there are short moments that one cannot see Krishna. So, this creator is faulty. He has created faulty eyes. What is this? You know, these eyes are useless. Blink, blink. Yeah? So, in this way, the gopis were dissatisfied with the blinking of the eyes, a moment of separation from Krishna. But it is also said, when it was not Krishna, the gopis had no interest in seeing anything but Krishna. One time, I was checking in for a flight, and they asked me, what you want, window seat or aisle seat? And on that occasion, I said, window seat, and there was going to be a nice flight over the mountains and so on. And that's when I exactly read in the Nectar of Devotion on that plane that the gopis had no interest in seeing anything but Krishna. And again, I realized that my love for Krishna was limited. It was limited. Life goes through so many ups and downs, and you know, I have had different experiences. Once a car rolled, and next moment I was flying. I am flying with 90 kilometers an hour. I never thought of Krishna. I was flying like anything, and I wasn't thinking Krishna, Krishna, I was just flying, and I landed on the grass, which is why I'm still here. But on the part that you sit on, and so I didn't sit for a while, I tell you. Anyhow, what to do? So we go to these experiences. And again, later on in my life, I had a near-death experience. And at that time, I could remember Krishna. It wasn't hard to think of Krishna. But I realized I was lacking in love. I realized that now I'm thinking of Krishna, but I'm actually thinking of Krishna in a way that I want to use Krishna. Because now I am maybe dying, and now it's like, Krishna, please help me, save me, Krishna, you know, I mean, do something for me. So I was thinking too much of myself, and I was lacking in love of Krishna. Because when we are lacking in love of Krishna, it means we have love for ourselves. Admenya pitiyam chitara bodhikam, Krishna pitiya chitara premanam. If we think about Krishna and satisfying Krishna, that means love. When we think about me and my senses, aham mameti, I and mine, then we are lacking in love. So again, I encountered at that moment when I was close to death, I encountered my lack of love in Krishna. But still, although there is not pure love of Krishna, I still also could not imagine a life without Krishna on the other side. You know, when you start to think, I have no love for Krishna, or I don't like chanting, then forbid yourself to chant. For 24 hours, forbidden to chant. And you'll catch yourself sneaking in a few hidden mantras. Before you know. One can even chant through the nose if the desire is there. So it's not so easy to stop devotional service. I was in one city in Germany, and the times changed. In that city, the devotees for many years were Sankirtan devotees, distributing books and so on, but most were not married. But then later, the brahmacharis and the brahmacharinis all got married and had children, and then naturally they wanted to move out of the city. So they started a rural project which was more suitable to the Grihastha ashram. And then the city temple, it was going down, there was nobody anymore, so they decided to close that one and have a smaller one. So there was a nice restaurant with it. And then they invited me for the last Sunday feast. I don't know why I went, it was a little strange, the last Sunday feast. Sort of, you know, announced also as the last Sunday feast. Sort of weird, right? So, but not everybody knew about it, that it was the last Sunday feast. So at the end of the Sunday feast, there were the announcements, which is usually what's going on, right? So they start making announcements, and then in the announcements, person said, so next week there will be no Sunday feast. Now that sometimes happens. You sometimes get an announcement like that during Rati Yatra, for example, you know. They'll say that next week there will be no Sunday feast because everyone will go to Durban. Right? So, you know, everyone would say, next week there will be no Sunday feast. The people were still asleep, you know. And then the announcer said, because there will be no more temple. And then, you know, everyone goes like, huh? There will be no more temple. They thought, is this some sort of practical joke or something? Some distasteful, some tasteless joke? You know, no more temple. But it was true. Next week there was no more temple and no more restaurant. So they started a little temple on the outside, but many people of the city, but many people never found that. Then after 6 years, they opened a small storefront in the city, and that storefront was selling prasadam. And somehow or other, all the old customers of the restaurant found that storefront, and people were seen to be walking into that storefront as if they had crashed with a plane in the desert and somehow or other survived, and they were walking out of the desert, and they came walking into that store. And they, on their last legs, and they said, is there some of that food? And there was. And it's like, they came back to life. 6 years without prasadam. How can one live like that? Can I imagine? I mean, but these poor people who lived 6 years without prasadam and then found it again. So in that way, it is interesting that Krishna Prem, sometimes Krishna Prem is described as something very, very high. Krishna Prem, love for Krishna, is so high that like, can we ever reach it? I did a seminar in 1999, and it was called From 66 to 99. And in 1966, the devotees, they were assembled in the temple. And they were waiting for Prabhupada to come down. Prabhupada was in his quarters. But that didn't matter. The devotees, they were in high spirits. They had a good kirtan going on for a long time, and Prabhupada still didn't come down. Didn't matter. Then they just asked the senior most devotee to speak, and that was of course Kirtanananda, because somehow or other he was a sannyasi. So Kirtanananda started his lecture and said, although I am not qualified, the devotees have asked me to speak, you know, and although I don't really know what to say, I'll say a few words. Nowadays we know that when someone says that usually they give a long lecture. In those days, they didn't know that yet. But anyway, then Kirtanananda began to speak. And he said, Where were we 1 year ago? Where were we 6 months ago? He said, where were we? He said, and now we are here, all with smiling faces, because of the mercy of a pure devotee. And that was the lecture, and everyone was totally ecstatic, and that was the mood of 66. We got the mercy of a pure devotee, and therefore, and we're all going back to Godhead this lifetime, and there's no doubt about it. And everything is blissful, and the movement is just growing, and it's expanding, and we'll take over the world, and there's no doubt about it. And here is the latest Back to Godhead magazine, and here is our new success project in Name a Country. And here's another one in Name Another Country, and Name Another, and Another, and Another. And it's just in 99. The mood had changed. In 99, it was more like, if your guru is a Parama Prista Priya Sakhi, then theoretically, he can give you Krishna Prem, and theoretically, you can go back to God at this lifetime, although it never happens in reality. And so, 99 was like, it's almost impossible to attain perfection. Almost impossible. I mean, you better give up trying now. You know, not really, you know, like only the new devotees try. Everybody who's been around for a while stops trying. Nobody tries that hard. It's the new guys that are full of enthusiasm that do everything, and everyone else who has been around is sort of barely chanting their rounds, if at all, you know, and like kind of like bend the regulative principles, you know, I mean, bang the regulative principles out of shape until you hardly recognize them, stretch the limits, you know what I mean, as much as you can. And it's like, there is this Ayurvedic medicine, it's really good stuff. The doctor prescribed me a bottle. I took it, you know, you had to take one cap, it was liquid, put it in a glass of water, so I drank it. This is alcohol! Anyway, but the doctor prescribed it, so by the time I came to the end of the bottle, I kind of thought, maybe I should order another one. But Krishna saved me, because that one was sour. I bought the second bottle, and then put it in the ground, and it was sour. Okay. I got it. We may not have much love for Krishna, but he has love for us. It's not one-way love. It's not just, we have to love Krishna, and he just sits there, you know, and we have to love him. Hare Krishna, 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 and we have to love Krishna, and we love him, and love him, and love him, and love him like anything. No, Krishna loves us. He loves us. Even more than we love him. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna is more eager to bring us back than we are eager to go. And that makes Krishna lovable. If Krishna wasn't lovable, how would we love him? Therefore, love for Krishna is not something so high, that only if your guru is a Parama Prista Priya Sakhi, that you can possibly understand what this love is. No. Actually, it is said that, how is it again? Isvara tadadine su parise sudrisatchuta prema maiti kripa eksha yakaruti samajama. It is said that even the madhyam adhikari, the intermediate devotee, that he also has prema. Praying for the Lord. That's interesting, that he has praying. An intermediate devotee, I thought the topmost, the pure devotees, the unalloyed pure devotees had praying. I thought only Srila Prabhupada had praying and nobody else, and only Prabhupada can save you, hallelujah. Where did I hear that? That was I got lost one day, you know. Went to the wrong address. Sorry about that. That just slipped out. Yes. Anyway, Krishna Prem. I thought Krishna Prem was, or love of God, was so high, so high, and so mystical that you almost can't explain it, and nobody can have it, and nobody can get it, and that's just the way it is, and you may as well live like that, you know. And if you go back to God, if, you know, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it's probably going to take you thousands of lifetimes. And while you have these thousands of lifetimes, you may as well have a little bit of fun, you know what I mean? Yeah, what to do. So, in this way, the mind is successfully taking us for a ride. Because the truth of the matter is, even an intermediate devotee has love for Krishna. Love is there. Oh yes, we love him too. We do. In many ways. I mean, some darshans are just stunning. And this Govindante, there's nothing like it. Come on, you know, it's like, it's mystical. And which are the most beautiful deities in the world? Shri Radharani Nati says. Which are the most beautiful deities? Radha Madhava and Madhava. No way. No way. Radha Shama Sundara, of course, in Vrindavan. You know, how can you say such a thing? Which are the most beautiful deities in the world? So on one Sunday feast, I was in Spain, and an old friend of mine, a devotee from Delhi named Mahamantra, who is a lawyer, by the way, Indian lawyer, he came and visited Madrid, and we did a Sunday feast together. So then, I asked exactly that question. Who is the most beautiful deity? Who's the most beautiful? And he said, Radha Partisarti, of course, from Delhi, you know. And I go like, they're nice. No, absolutely. I mean, you know, they have their charm, and I must say, I like them a lot. But, you know, can't come. No, that's Bombay. Radha Ras Bihari, yeah, very little. In Bombay, they eat well, you know. But Vrindavan, the most beautiful, I said. Right? Then we had a debate, since he's a lawyer, and we had a debate, so we had different arguments. He said, no, Radha Partisarti is more beautiful because Krishna is ready to... Krishna leaves Vrindavan. He leaves Vrindavan out of his causeless mercy. Therefore, Radha Partisarti is more beautiful. So he's a lawyer, he had good arguments, you know, like this whole debate, you know, whole debate. And it went up and down and up and down. And in the end, my question to you is, which deity is the most beautiful? Which one? And the answer is, what's he say? Chaitanya, what do you say? Panchatattva. Yeah. Very good. That is true, actually, because they're most merciful. But, you know, the real answer to the question is, the deity that is the most beautiful is the deity that you're serving. That deity is the most beautiful. Because with that deity, you develop a relationship. Yes, and that deity begins to reveal himself to you. So the real beauty, it's not like just the decoration, it's the service. And it's the relationship you have in rendering the service. And that deity, that's why she says Mayapur, because she's a Mayapur devotee. I say Radha Shama Sundara because I'm a Vrindavan devotee. He's a broader Radharani. Little bit, huh? Little bit. But even the accent is South African. Little bit. Throw it in the bin. So, yes. Yes. So it's really when you start serving the deities, then the deities become most beautiful, and then love for the deity develops. And this is most wonderful. And that's the only way. It is through service. So this is really our opportunity. That's what these temples are for. They're only meant for one purpose. So that we can serve. We have all this so that we can serve. Because we can't chant Hare Krishna the whole day. We can't. Haridas Thakur could do. He could chant the whole day, every day. Even if he can chant one day, the whole day, that's probably not possible. But definitely not every day, the whole day, or a whole life, only chant. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada arranged so many things for us. And it's very nice, because we have this Yukta Vairagya philosophy. You can take the things of this world and use them for Krishna. Although it may be a bit mixed sometimes. You know, when you see a four-wheel drive with a number plate for you, Krishna, something in my mind just sort of goes like, really? With all due respect, the honesty. Anyway, I told you before that I had my moment of near death, and that at that time I was remembering Krishna and praying to Krishna, but I realized that I didn't have enough love, and I wasn't sure if I was going to die or live. And I prayed at that time, and I said, Krishna, if I survive this, then next time I'm in this position, I want to have a little more love. And I must say, I'm still living that now. I'm still, every moment, trying to cultivate that love for Krishna. But I know that without the mercy of Gauranga, it cannot be done. Because I've always, every day, thousands of times, reached the limits of my love. Each time again, the wall is there. But then, so easy, turn to Gauranga's mercy. And so I, in a way, I agree with Chaitanya that Panchatattva is the most beautiful. Because they are amazingly merciful. Those deities in my Panchatattva. Like Mangalarti, I go Panchatattva. My poor. Because I know I need Panchatattva, right? I better take an advance on the mercy. You know what I mean? I better take an advance on the mercy, because soon enough I'm going to need it. So this is our movement. It's the combination of the two. Turning to Gauranga, which brings us to Krishna. Turning to Krishna, which brings us to Gauranga. And in this way, our spiritual life unfolds. And that is the secret of this movement. And that is how we can develop Krishna Prem. But what if you don't develop Krishna Prem? And what if your guru, by the way, is not a part of the Prasthi Priyasakya, since you brought it up? You know? What if he's not? And what if you don't get Krishna pain before you die? Don't worry, because still there is the mercy of Gauranga. So the more we have done to attract the mercy of Gauranga, then that mercy of Gauranga will take us back. That will take us back. So even when your guru is just a village pumpkin from home. Even then, by the mercy of Gauranga, still go back. So. So any questions? Any comments? Stop training. We just came from the Nukasara Theatre. It was very nice. For one thing, they had, instead of being, for many years they were in a residential area, and this year it was downtown where the people were. So that was very nice, because, you know, then Rath Yatra becomes magic when people just out of nowhere see this chariot appearing and this whole kid, and they can't believe their eyes. What is this? You know, I mean, it's attractive. It's like they almost, you know, can't hold themselves back, and yeah, it was amazing. So that was very nice. And then afterwards, well, we could see that the Newcastle devotees are growing up. We saw that the Gurukul was very active. I mean, they had a big production, you know, theater, like the whole, I mean, I think 35 actors on stage, so that's serious, you know. I mean, 35 actors on stage, it's a whole trip to coordinate all that. And it was the whole thing about the appearance of Lord Jagannath, you know, and coming from Nilamadava and Daru Brahman being carved and all these things in great detail, and young kids, and they must have rehearsed for months. Like, you can see they did it well, they worked really hard. So you could see they were absorbed, you know. It's not just from they came for the Rath Yatra and quickly slapped a play together, you know what I mean? I mean, rehearsed the day before and sort of like everything went wrong on stage and looked, but anyway, Haribo. Yeah, and there was Hare Krishna at the end. No, this was a play that was like a lot of detail in it and a lot of actors, and you could see, wow, they did some serious work here. The youth, you know, they did a whole thing, they got into it, and they also had their play, and they did a really impressive imitation of first Michael Jackson, all the dance moves and everything, nice, like really good, I mean, I must say. So, although Michael Jackson is a bit from after my time, right? I mean, you know, it's after our time, but like, you know, I had it. Like what he was all about, and the boys did a great job on that one. Afterwards, they also did like a Julius Malema, who also was recognizable because Bhakti Narasimha Maharaj was rolling on his chair in ecstasy. He liked it the most. So, you know, over a whole, you know, they put a lot of energy into it. The Rath Yatra in Newcastle showed that the devotees had put a lot of energy into it. And immediately, the transcendental energy was just present, and you could just taste it and capture it, and that made it, like, special. Of course, I remember another one, you know, and that's... I remember another Rath Yatra in Newcastle, and that one, it was raining, folks. It was raining buckets and buckets, cats, dogs, the whole thing, you know. It was like raining, and it didn't stop. And it was gushing down, right? So, okay, there were some rain ponchos, and we all got one. And that was the year before Narasimha Maharaj took sannyas. We were both there also. And I remember that in the lecture from the chariot, you know, the theme was, well, you know, the rain of mercy of Lord Chaitanya is greater than the rain of water that's coming down. kind of looking at the water. But I tell you, folks, we were having a kirtan out there in the rain, and the water was just coming down. Fish were swimming past. Fish were swimming past, right? And okay, you know, but we had this kirtan, so the water started steaming and it was really going, you know, and then I gave it to Jagat Guru Das Brahmachari, right, who was in his final Brahmachari days, told him to lead the kirtan, which usually he doesn't do, but sometimes he can rock it. And he has got this kind of very calm and peaceful demeanor, but that day, boy, in the rain, leading up to sannyas, he went mad, and we all went mad. And we'll never forget that. Swami Sachi was there also, swimming about. He had a life vest, about the same color as his jacket today. So, in that way, Ratha Yatra is always special. There is not one Ratha Yatra without a miracle. There's no such thing. Because in Ratha Yatra, somehow or other, it always happens that suddenly you go beyond your limits, beyond what you've planned. You know, you sort of have a plan, see? We came here today to the Sunday feast with a plan, what we're going to do in the temple. Okay, come a little late for the bhajan, you know. Cut the lecture short, go out in the middle and see if the prasada is ready. So, you know, a plan, right? Or, you know, sit outside and answer your mail while the talk is going on. So, we have different plans that we go to the temple. But I tell you, at Ratha Yatra we may go with a plan, but something happens where Lord Jagannath somehow or other takes us beyond our limits. Right? And then suddenly you start to do things that you didn't plan. And he gets, you know, he starts to do like strange things, you know? You don't recognize yourself, is this me? You know, like, Ratha Yatra, something like that. So, mercy of Lord Jagannath. So, yeah, with that, I'm bringing you a little bit of Mukhasa Ratha Yatra also. Some of you were there. And so, in this way, it is an amazing movement, and we know it's going on by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. But then, Lord Chaitanya, who's Lord Chaitanya? We would have never known who's Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya. You know? It's like, I was in Mayapur, right? In Srivas Angan, 1 year, and the paint was coming off the walls, you know? And it looked old and run down, and for a moment it flashed in my mind, is this the holiest of holiest places, right? The way this building looks, you know, where I'm from, they wouldn't even park their car in a place like that, you know? I say, it's like my father would not have parked his car in a place like that. But our garage looked nicer. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we can appreciate that this is Srivas Angan, the house of Srivas, where Lord Chaitanya danced. And we can see with transcendental eyes, and we see the dust, and we take it and put it on our head. But we would have never known, never, never. It would have just passed us by completely, if not for Prabhupada. Therefore, Prabhupada extended the mercy, brought it even further to us. So in this way, we would have never, at least I can this time speak for myself, I would have never, definitely never, you know, worn a dress. I tell you that, you know. Excuse me, guys. I'm not the type. Okay. And you know, no way. Yeah, no way, Jose. No. But somehow or another, here I am, you know. And I'm proud of it. And I had to face a lot over the years, you know. I've had to face men that would come up to me and say, I love your dress, darling. You series, which is kind of, well, kind of a thing you don't expect. So, but for Prabhupada, yes. For Prabhupada, I'll wear a dress. For Prabhupada, you know, I'll do so many things. For Prabhupada, I'll be different for a lifetime. Let the people look at me. Some, you know, even now, people, they look at you like, you know, from top to down, back up, and again down, and again up. That's a statement, you know. Then they know, you know, like they want to let you know. Yeah. So these things are going on. But we don't care. I was standing in a queue on an airport, and this man stands behind me, and he goes like, you're a religious fanatic. You're a religious fanatic. You're just like Al-Qaeda, you know? You're a fanatic, some fundamentalist, a terrorist, you know? And he went on and on. I mean, like 10 minutes or so it was going on. And finally, I spoke to the other people, and I said, is there someone here who can ask this man to stop terrorizing me? Krishna gives us intelligence. So then we have to tolerate so many things. But yes, we will. Gladly will. Why? Why would one tolerate? Is it because Prabhupada is paying me? Mm-hmm. No. At home, there was more of that, you know. I became poor since I joined the Hare Krishna. I'm sorry to say, but, right? That's how it is. No, it wasn't that. Then why would we tolerate all that? Huh? Is it maybe because there is a little bit of love? Possibly? Just a little bit? I think so. Must be. Otherwise I don't think I would do it. Though I thought my heart is made of stone, you know. And my former wife used to call me the cold frog. What to do? You know, I mean, what can I do? But still, some love must be there for Prabhupada. And how could it not be? Such an amazing personality. But if somehow or other it passed you by, if somehow or other you missed it, if somehow or other you just feel like Prabhupada, you know, I can't relate to Prabhupada, I never met him, then go and meet him now. How can we meet him? Meet him in his books. Read the biographies. Read everything you can about him. Find out about him. And the more you do, then first admiration, then serve him. And then what will happen? Then naturally, love for Krishna. Because I'll tell you one secret about Vrindavan. I came to Vrindavan, and I had not yet really taken the Hare Krishna movement very serious. I knew a little bit about it, but I came to Vrindavan. But when I was in Vrindavan, I could sense the presence of Krishna immediately. I immediately sensed this place is not ordinary. Then what happened is, after I joined the Krishna Balaram Mandir, then after a short while, I began to realize, yes, Krishna is very present in this place. But Prabhupada is even more present than Krishna here, in this Krishna Balaram temple. That's what I realized. And that's a fact. You know, Prabhupada is everywhere. There's Prabhupada's house, there's Prabhupada's samadhi. Every corner of the project has a story. There's Prabhupada's bell, and it has to ring, and on the hour, and so on. There is. So everywhere we see Srila Prabhupada, and we can appreciate that it is his kindness and his hard work that we are here today. So in this way, a little appreciation may develop. And that, maybe, can be called love. And then we say, okay, like, why would I chant every day 16 rounds? Give me one good reason. Give me one good reason. Huh? He's just imitating me. He says a little bit of love. That's not good. No, give me one good reason to chant. Why?
To please Prabhupada.
One good reason to chant.
Following the instructions of the spiritual
master. Okay, give me one good reason to chant.
Stop suffering.
One good reason to chant.
You like to do it.
You like to sometimes.
Some days
I don't like to do it. Some days I'm tired. Want to sleep.
It's like brushing your teeth and going to the toilet. Nature's call, come, then you have to do it. So you do it.
Yeah.
It's a need. It's a need of the body, mind, spirit, whatever you call it.
But then you get sick.
You don't fall sick, you improve.
Then you get sick. No, you get sick. And then your arm weighs 300 kilos and your finger only 200. And then to lift your beads is just too heavy. I know, I've chanted on malaria. It took a long time to get through 16 rounds. But I did. But I must admit, those rounds I didn't love. Those rounds as pure austerity. But I did it. Why?